Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and today I am joined by Bruce Miller, Christ Fellowship Senior Pastor, and we are having a continuation of our conversation from last week on judging and tolerance. This time we're getting personal. What do you do if there's someone in your life doing something that you're concerned about or believing something that you're not sure about? Is it worth confronting them over? And if you feel like you need to, how should you do it? That's our conversation this week. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Bruce and I are here together again.
Great to be back. Here we go.
Yes, once again, Jaime is out of town enjoying some vacation time. So it's just me and Bruce. This is kind of part two to what we talked about last week.
I do kind of hate to be just Bruce, but that's okay.
Bruce is here. Yay!
No, but it is part two. It is part two.
Yes, it is part two, what Bruce talked about last week. So as we get started, why don't you give the, you know, summary of last week's
service? Yeah, last week we were talking about, do we judge or not? And that there's two cliffs we could fall off on. One is not to judge at all, like to make no more judgments at all. We won't have any opinions. We won't have any convictions. Live and let live. And the other one is to be incredibly judgmental and just condemn everybody who doesn't agree with us.
Yeah.
And in our society, both are problems. We have relativism that says you do you and don't tell me
everything
what to do.
Everything goes.
And then we have people across social media judging the heck out of everybody.
Yeah.
And if you don't agree with me, you are totally wrong and a horrible person.
Yeah.
We're going to cancel you.
And evil.
Yeah.
Close to, akin to Hitler.
And so we say, what did Jesus say? Jesus said to judge without being judgmental. The Bible both says to judge and it says don't judge. And the answer is we are to judge truth from error, good from evil, but we are not to be condemning, gossiping, slandering of people.
Yeah, and we should always have a spirit of humility because
that's
God
right.
is the ultimate judge. He's the
that's
only
right.
one that has perfect knowledge of everything.
We don't know people's motives. We don't know all the circumstances. Only God does.
Yeah, and so we need to remember our place. Yeah, it was a good sermon, helpful information, and kind of something thought-provoking. And so now you're going to do part two. So where are you going this week?
So this week there's two questions. If you do see sin or an issue, a problem in someone else's life, should you talk to them about it? Should and it's should you? There's some of the scripture says overlook. Love overlooks a fault.
Yeah,
or covers over
your,
a wrong.
It is your glory to overlook an offense.
That's right. On the other hand, the scripture says admonish one another. And we're to confront each other about sin in our lives. Mm-hmm. So what are we supposed to do? How do you know if this is an issue that you're supposed to talk to your friend or family member about or just overlook it and move on? And then if you decide it is something you should talk about, the second question is going to be, how do you have the talk?
Yes, how do you have those difficult
in a good God-honoring way.
Yeah, how do you have those difficult conversations? Okay, so let's start with this. So the overarching principle, I think, first of all, I like that you said, if there's a person who is your friend or family member, because that implies that we're not going to go yell at strangers about things.
Not the best.
Let's say you would not necessarily recommend going into a bar on a Friday night and confronting drunk people.
That would be unwise.
Yeah. And why? But I mean, in addition to being unwise, why would that
well,
not
Well, you don't
be
have a
good
relational bridge. You don't know these people.
Right.
It's also really not helpful to talk to a drunk person. But apart
well,
from that,
okay, so
let's say you're in Walmart and you see somebody screaming at their kid.
Yeah.
Like, it's bad. Do you go confront them? You don't know them. You have no relational bridge. You have no relational equity. You have no responsibility for that person.
Mm. But you might for the kid.
Well, if the kid's being abused, that's different.
Right.
I'm just talking about someone's being ugly.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not talking about
you don't,
actual
You're not
physical
actually
abuse.
Worried that the kid is
right.
in danger.
Yeah.
Or,
if you need to call the police, you need to call CPS. That's a whole
that's
different,
different
story.
Okay. Just to clarify.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you see someone out in the world that you
right.
have no connection to, it's not appropriate necessarily for you to go up and go, oh, by the way, that's a sin according to the Bible, what you're doing right now.
Right. If someone goes through a stop sign, you don't need to try to pull them over and tell them they shouldn't have done that.
Batman does.
Okay.
I mean, Batman is all about the vigilante justice. No, I'm kidding. Okay. So that helps us. That's a good criteria that, you know, alleviates a lot of people. Like, you're not responsible right. for the world.
But, you know, there people who are in your family, people you're in an authority relationship, if they're in your classroom, if they're in your company, if they're in your family, there's a relationship there. And sometimes there's an authority relationship where you bear responsibility. And then it's in the, are they in your friend group? And how well do you know them?
And how well do you know the situation? Because I know that that can be an issue as well. Like, you just have a suspicion. You know, you and your friends got around and were talking about, oh, I think so-and-so is abusing prescription pain medication, for example. Because one person saw them taking a pill and you're you know, she had surgery and so maybe she is abusing. So you all together decide that this person has an issue. But it's like you may not have all the facts.
That's right. Is it firsthand knowledge or secondhand knowledge?
Yeah.
Are you dealing with what somebody else told you about somebody or do you actually know yourself?
Okay. But let's say this is someone that you do know.
Yeah.
And that you do say, okay, I really suspect this person that I go to church with, that I'm friends with, that I have a relationship with, that this person I think might be, you know, abusing some kind of substance. I'm sensing that. Where, how would you decide at that point whether or not to confront them?
Well, two criteria, I think. One is this a biblical issue or an opinion issue? So on the substance, are we talking about you saw your friend drinking a margarita? It's actually not necessarily sinful to drink a margarita. If we're talking about taking prescription drugs, taking oxycodone, that's okay.
If it's prescribed.
But now if your friend is taking too much, more than the prescription, or if it's not prescribed, or you're concerned they actually are abusing a prescription drug or using an illegal drug, well, then that is a biblical issue.
Yeah.
So first you want to say, is this a biblical issue or an opinion issue? Like, I don't think people should drink alcohol, or
I don't think people,
or there's people who don't think you should use pain medications.
Or I don't think
that's
all opinion stuff.
Is it opinion stuff or biblical? First, okay, it's biblical. And then even when it's biblical things, you want to think, is it a serious issue? So is this a matter of truth where the gospel's at stake and they're heretical, or holiness, immorality, or divisiveness is an important issue in the scripture? So in this case, it'd be immorality, where you're abusing prescription drugs or you're using illegal drugs. So then the second question you want to consider is the nature of your relationship. So if this is your child, you confront them.
Yeah.
Right. If this is your friend, is it a friend you knew 20 years ago and you haven't had any contact with? Or is this somebody you do life with? Like, y'all are in Bible study together, you share life group, you...
Well, and probably, you know, if it's that kind of thing, in order to have a good understanding of the situation, you'd have to be close in a lot of these situations.
That's right.
I mean, there are some lines in the sand. Like, if you find out someone's having an affair, that's different.
But
if it's something else that you're like, well, I don't know how bad it is, or I don't know if this is really an issue, you'd have to be pretty close to them to know.
But yeah, if it's your friend that you really do know,
yeah,
and you really suspect they're misusing prescription drugs, then that's something that it would be worth having a conversation about. You should have the conversation.
Well, especially if you sense there's a problem.
Right.
Right. That's another level.
That's right.
Like, if this seems to be something that's affecting their life, like you're noticing issues, they're driving while they're using this, or they seem to be out of it a lot.
That's right.
Or they seem to be super numb all the time, and, or, you know, whatever, like, you're seeing side effects of this that or they're not going to work because they're sleeping off whatever drug they took. So if it seems to be, then you're like, okay, it wouldn't be loving of me to not say anything, because you might be the one person that could get to them. That could impact them in this way. Or that could, I saw there's a comedian who's funny. He's not Christian, but I saw him on some talk show being interviewed, and his friends all had an intervention for him.
Yeah. And that's loving.
Yeah. And they got together, and I thought this was kind of funny, that when they told him he was just coming to dinner, and then he got there and they said, oh, we need you to take your shoes off. And he was like, well, this is different. So they took his shoes off and they hid them.
Clever.
They were like, they didn't want him to run away before they had a chance to say this. But these were all people that were like, look, we're doing this because we love you and we care about you. And we're seeing that this is affecting your life.
Yeah, when you see
it's dangerous.
Yeah, you see somebody destroying their life, it's going to affect their children if they have children.
Yeah.
I mean, it's serious. Their very life could be at stake. I've been involved in some interventions, and I've had a person come back and thank me year after year, you saved my life.
Yeah. Well, and this guy, too, he was like, look, at the time I was pretty mad.
Yeah.
But now that I've gone through rehab and I'm, you know, recovering, and I look back on it, I'm eternally grateful, because I would not be probably alive now Okay, so you have a close relationship. There's a biblical issue. There's something that you sense. Okay, but what if it's like a belief? So what if someone you know is like, say, getting wrapped up in, say, like the prosperity gospel, which is the idea that, you know, name it and claim it. If I just believe hard enough, God will bless me. So you see them reading authors and you see them going to conferences that tend to cater to that kind of mindset. Is that a big enough deal for you to say something?
You know, boy, it's about wisdom. It's not a yes, no answer,
yeah,
as you would imagine. And so we go back to, is this a biblical issue? And yes, the one you're naming, prosperity theology, is, but there's a huge spectrum of that.
Yeah.
And so there are some people who just simply say, if you obey God, God tends to bless you.
Well, that's
true.
Not a problem. Yeah.
However, if someone says, if you give me $100, you're going to get $1,000 back. Give me all you can. You know, if it's driving someone to greed and leading to unhealthy behavior, then it's something that's serious enough to talk about. But then we're back to our relationship. Mm-hmm. How well do you know them?
Yeah.
And is the relationship close enough, enough trust, enough love built there where you can have the conversation? Then it's something that's a good thing to talk about.
Yeah. So I'm guessing when you see people on Facebook posting crazy things, you're not necessarily going to just jump in there.
I'm tempted.
Aren't we all?
I just had that temptation today and said to myself, no, don't post.
It's not worth it.
Back away from the Facebook.
Because, and that's a good point. Like, no one has ever had their mind changed because of a Facebook post.
No.
It's totally pointless to get all embroiled in some kind of controversy in a social media platform because it only seems to harden people in their belief.
When we talk about, okay, you've decided you're going to have the conversation.
Yeah, do it on Facebook.
Yeah, when we get to how do you
public.
Do it, it's privately. Yeah. Jesus said, show your brother his fault between the two of you.
Yeah.
Your brother or sister. So yeah, Facebook is public. You don't do
and
that.
And distant, you know, keyboard warriors behind their keyboards. We all know that's a problem.
But you do speak to someone personally, privately, face-to-face. And you know what I find that is so common is that people go sideways. So rather,
yes.
The two choices are you overlook it or you confront it.
Yeah. The one, an option is not you gossip about it.
That would
that's
be
not
the
an option.
Middle option that's most frequently chosen and is wrong.
Yes.
Which is, let me go tell my friend, I think that so-and-so has a prescription drug problem. I think so-and-so is into the prosperity gospel. And would you pray for them? You know, you go face-to-face, straight to the person. You do not go sideways.
Otherwise, it literally is gossip.
It's sin. Now someone needs to confront you because right. You just gossip.
But it's just funny because we look at the sin lists that Paul lists, and gossip's always in there.
Yeah.
Because it's divisive. Like you talked about something that we need to guard unity.
Right.
And it's like there's nothing more insidious to the church body than a bunch of people complaining and
that's right.
And
gossip and slander.
Gossiping and slandering and talking about people behind their back and not actually going to the person and going, hey, I have a concern. Yeah, it tears life groups apart, can tear church, split churches.
Oh yeah, easily.
Yeah. And so Paul lists those sins for a reason. Yeah.
Gossip spreads.
Yeah, and it always grows in intensity. Like all of a sudden, something that was a minor issue. It's like that game of telephone you played
as a child.
And
the stories change.
Yeah.
And they usually get worse and more salacious. And
so we need to check ourselves when we decide we're going to share something. What is my motive for sharing it? Okay, and the other thing I think is really important is this behavior hurting other people?
That's right.
Particularly vulnerable people, children, you know, wives. In some cases, like,
right.
You know, if you, and I think if you know someone is in a marriage where the wife is being, and maybe not even physically abused, because we know that psychological abuse can sometimes have longer term impact than even physical abuse. You know, if you know that, then you need to do something to help with the vulnerable, help protect the vulnerable. So that's important. So I think we kind of covered why you might decide this is. So this rules out a lot of stuff.
It does.
There's a lot of stuff we need to let go.
That's right. A lot of things to let go. It's love that guides us, love and care for the other person.
Well, and I do think you made a point that if it's affecting your relationship with that person, that matters too.
Yeah. I find people who tell me, I want to go to a different church service because I don't want to run into so-and-so. Yeah. And they go to first service, so I'm going to go to second service. Or I ran into so-and-so in Kroger, and I just went to a different aisle because I didn't want to see them. because it made my stomach hurt or I got tense or I start sweating. Okay, that's not healthy.
Yeah, if something has happened between you, it's better to clear the air.
That's right.
Because you know what? I have found, and I'm pretty conflict avoidant, let me be honest. But I have found in those cases where I've either been forced to because of circumstances or I have voluntarily gone to someone and go, hey, you know, do we have is there something going on? Is there an issue here? You seem to be acting different around me. You know, have I done something? That clearing the air always helps. It's usually nothing. And by the end of it, we're like laughing. Like, why That's was right. this even a thing? Why? I didn't mean that. No, I didn't mean that. We usually are able to clear the air in probably 95% of the cases.
And I think that opening of, hey, have I done something wrong, is really healthy when you're having conversations like this, hard conversations, is to confess your part.
Yeah.
So Jesus says, take the plank out of your eye before you move the splinter from your brother's eye. And so it's to say, do I have any part in this? Like, have I got a role to play in this conflict, this issue, this dispute? Or did I do something wrong along the way? Like, you confront somebody about the prescription drugs and they say, did you talk to my mother about this or whatever the situation is? And you say, yes. And they say, why did you do that? And you say, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. I should have come to you directly.
Yeah.
Let me just say, I'm sorry. I went to, whether it's their mother, their sister, or whatever.
Right.
And in retrospect, that wasn't wise. I'm sorry. Would you know, please forgive me or I apologize.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to own your part. And usually we all make mistakes along the way.
Well, these are difficult conversations for a reason. I mean, if they were easy, we'd have them all the time.
Usually the person you're confronting, if they have done something wrong and they feel guilty, well, it's not uncommon to attack back.
Right.
And they want to criticize you for approaching them wrongly.
Yeah.
And the feeling inside is often, you know what? Okay, I'm sorry I told so-and-so, but you have a drug problem. And what you don't want to do is get defensive.
No, I'm laughing, but it's like, only because I've heard this.
Yes, we've been in this movie. So instead, you want to model confession, humility, owning your stuff, in hopes that your model sort of inspires the other person to own their stuff.
Yeah.
Because we all have stuff to own. And I regularly misspeak, and I sent an email the other day, and I thought, oh, I wish I could take that email back. There was a phrase I wrote that I realized is going to be misheard, and it was, and I feel bad. It hurt somebody.
Yeah, that's really helpful because none of us are doing this without error. You know, we're all trying our best, and to just say that. And I think you're right. It has to be in love. Like if the person senses that you think you're better than them,
that's right.
It's not going to go well.
And so I encourage a great way to start, even though if you're pretty sure about your facts, is to listen.
Yes.
And ask a lot. Don't come in with accusations.
Right.
You're a drug addict.
Right.
Come in and say, I'm concerned and I want to ask, you know, how are you doing? Because I've noticed that you didn't show up to pick your kids up at school, or I noticed that you didn't show up at work, or you seem groggy. Are you okay? I'm concerned about you.
Yeah.
And let them, and you be very factual. On Tuesday, we were going to meet and you didn't show, or, and you didn't answer your phone, or when you came, you just seemed really out of it.
Yeah. Avoid those generalizations because this is something we do a lot. We're like, you're always late.
Right.
And then they go, no, I'm not. Last week I was absolutely on time. And then all of a sudden the conversation has shifted to little nitpicky details instead of the big issue.
There's things you can be wrong and there's things you don't know.
Right.
On this very case, I actually lived through this example you're sharing. And it's, well, I'm actually on prescription medications, a couple of kinds, and they're interacting in a way I didn't expect. And we're trying to sort out the interaction between two medicines, and it's having this impact. I am sleeping and missing things, and I'm trying not to, but it's because of the situation I'm in.
Yeah.
And my medical condition.
And I'm under a doctor's care.
Yes.
And there's no issue.
No.
But if you go to that person and you started that conversation with, I think you're a drug addict, then they're just going to be hurt. Because they really haven't done anything wrong. Whereas if you go to them and say, hey, I just noticed that you seem a little out of it. Are you feeling okay? Have you had, you know, what did your doctor say last time you saw him? I mean, like, you ask questions.
Exactly.
Instead of making assumptions.
That's happens so many times when you think somebody's having an affair.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they are. There's also a lot of times they're not. And that phone call was innocent. Those text messages were about something different. And you
Yeah.
You drew a conclusion that a few more questions and some listening would lead you to find out that you weren't right.
Yeah. I think timing plays a big part in these kind of conversations too. I know, like, say, for example, someone you think is you're concerned about them abusing alcohol or drugs. You know, you have to kind of sense if they would even be open to having this conversation.
That's right.
And you have to, like, really pray about it. And you have to be open to the Holy Spirit.
I have found it helps. I totally agree with that. You want to be really prayed up, that your heart's right, your motives are right, the Spirit is with you, and that you want God's grace and Christ to pour through you. Practically, I have found it helpful to ask for permission. Would you be open to me talking with you about something hard? Mm. Or I'd like to talk about what I've noticed in your relationship with your spouse when I've been with you. Yeah. But if you don't want to do, that's okay. But if you're open to me sharing something, I care about you and love you, and I would like to share something if you're open to hearing it.
Yeah. And then again, asking good questions. So for example, you know, if that person makes a comment like, you know, I can't get through an evening without wine.
Right.
You go, so how is that working for you? You know, or why do you think you need that every night? Or
right.
You know, is it helping to drink a bottle of wine every night? So you're just taking an opportunity to ask a question that they may be kind of setting you up for. Because the other thing is sometimes people are dug in. They know there's a problem, but they don't want to deal with it. But other times, I think the Lord moves in ways that they are ready to talk about it.
That's right.
And so you might be there at that moment. And if you ask the right question, it may open up a conversation.
I think part of what you're describing is gentleness. The scripture says that if someone's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. Mm-hmm. And that is often not the way people approach other people. You're nervous, you're tense, you're a little angry because you are frustrated with your family member, friend, and that comes through. But if you can be gentle, it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
And some of what you're describing are ways of being gentle.
Yeah, that's good. That's helpful. Because you really have to make the conversation not about you.
That's right.
And so even if you are a wounded party in this, so say you are confronting somebody and they have hurt you in some way, if your goal is to help them find help and restoration because of this issue, then the goal is not necessarily for you to get an apology, at least not right then.
In fact, that's interesting. I found that a lot of people think it's a good idea or it seems common to say, would you please forgive me? And actually, what I'm doing is putting some pressure on you. Mm. Because now I've made a demand of you, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Would you please forgive me?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But it's different if I say, Lisa, I just want you to know I sincerely apologize. Right. I was wrong and I'm sorry.
That's good.
Well, that's all me.
Yeah.
And then if you choose to forgive me, or that's you, but I'm not really in a position to. And that's
demand. You can't make demands.
And that's sometimes what people mean when you say, I apologize, I'm sorry. By saying, would you please forgive me? What you're really meaning to communicate oftentimes is, I apologize, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And I just would encourage you, that's a better way to say it.
Yeah.
Than to say,
I've never thought about that.
Yeah, would you please forgive me? Because now I'm asking you to do something.
I mean, it's kind of a trick of the English language, because it's nice to be able to bring the word forgiveness into the conversation.
Right.
Whereas I'm sorry is such a, we toss that around all the time. Like, I bumped into you. Oh, I'm so sorry. Was that the deal?
Then it's, hey, if you can ever find it in your heart sometime to forgive me, that'd be great. As opposed to putting you on the spot.
Yeah, that's good. That's helpful. But anyway, I think, again, you have to go into these conversations with your, like, what are you really trying to accomplish?
That's right. And you want to be more concerned with the other person than you, like you say, even though you may be hurt.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean there won't be time for you to address those issues.
That's right.
Because I also don't want to pretend that you should never.
No.
But it just depends on the issue.
There, even in the, if you have been hurt and wounded and there's a broken relationship, it is appropriate to use I language, not you language, and say, I just want you to know, when you said this or when you did this, this is how I felt.
Yeah, this hurt me.
And give the space, benefit of the doubt of, you may not have intended to hurt me.
Right.
You may not have tried to do this, but here's how it came across to me.
Yeah, and I think that's healthy. I think it's good for people to know how their actions impact others. You know, that's healthy. That's part of a recovery process if you're in major sin.
Right.
You need to recognize that your sin is against God, it's against yourself, but it's also been against the other people in your life. And there may be amends you need to make. But it's a process. And if we're talking about the first conversation, that may not, you're not going to get it through everything in the first, in one conversation.
If somebody has a party, a friend of yours has a party, and they don't invite you, mm-hmm. and your feelings are hurt mm-hmm. because your other mutual friends are invited, mm-hmm. and you want to talk to them about it, that could be appropriate because it's damaged your relationship. It's not a giant sin,
right?
But it is important. So you meet with them, you could say, when you didn't invite me to the party, you hurt me. Mm-hmm. That's different than saying, you know, I didn't receive an invitation.
And you're a thoughtless.
Yeah, no, no.
Oh, wait,
and
no,
I'm not sure why, but it made me feel left out and neglected and hurt.
Yeah.
Then the person might say, oh my goodness, I sent it. I must have the wrong address.
Yeah.
Or, oh, I totally forgot. Or, you know, I was going to limit it to 5 people and I only could choose 5 and I'm sorry. I, you know, whatever the answer is, but it's rather than accusing you hurt me.
Yeah.
I'm saying when I didn't get invited, I felt this is how I felt.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're just, because that's just stating a fact.
Right.
You're just saying, and again, using I language and not accusations.
And you give the benefit of the doubt of you might not have intentionally, maliciously wanted to hurt me.
Right.
And then, and sometimes even the benefit of the doubt of I didn't get an invitation leaves room for maybe you did send it to the wrong address or you left it on the table and forgot to put it in the mail or.
Yeah.
Or it got lost in the mail. I mean, we tease that that's a typical lie. But
maybe it really did. I read a book years ago called Difficult Conversations, mm-hmm. and it was really helpful because it's really changed the way I think about these things. He said, look, you're having a conversation on 3 levels, whether you realize it or not. You may think you're just talking about something factual, like your neighbor's dog is barking too much and it's driving you crazy. So you go over there and go, hey, you know, I just wanted to let you know your dog is barking while you're at work and I'm trying to work from home and it's really distracting me. You're just trying to discuss the facts, and maybe that truly is your intent, but you have to recognize that that person is going to have feelings come up that you're going to have to deal with. And they're feeling maybe embarrassment, maybe anger, maybe frustration. You know, you don't know what their feelings are going to be. So you're going to have to deal with those feelings because that's there. And you're also going to have to deal with, a lot of times these things become identity conversations where all of a sudden they feel like you're saying you're a bad neighbor. Now, you haven't ever said that. You're really just talking about the dog. But what they're hearing is you're accusing them of being a bad neighbor.
Yeah,
nobody wants to be a bad neighbor.
You hate me. You reject me.
Yeah.
You think I'm a bad person.
Right. And so sometimes in having these kind of difficult conversations, you have to say, now, look, I'm not saying you're a bad neighbor. You just have to try to get under, if they react in a negative way, you have to go, okay, well, what is the feeling that's going on here? And then what is the identity thing that's going on here? And you may have to address that too.
Something I think that can help on all these dimensions we've been sharing already is to try to put yourself in the other person's shoes.
Yeah.
So we are, this whole conversation has been about you confronting that person.
Yeah.
Let's flip it. And let's presume somebody's...
My dog doesn't bark, Bruce.
Well, no, you have the perfect dog and you're the perfect dog owner.
I'm the perfect
best
neighbor.
We should live next to me. Now, so let's suppose someone's confronting you. How would you like them to confront you? Mm. And can you receive their criticism? And can you receive... There's a whole other set of lessons is how can you receive well... criticism that comes your way or confrontation that comes your way from someone who loves you and cares about you and is trying to help you.
Yeah, not someone who's just being mean.
They may or may not be correct on everything they say.
Right.
But their intent is good.
Yeah.
How will you receive it? And then now when you're in the other situation, think, okay, if it were me confronting me, if I was on the other side of this confrontation, how would I want someone to speak to me?
Yeah.
And not want someone to speak to me and approach me.
That's good. Okay, well, let's play this scenario through. Okay, so you have this conversation, a difficult conversation with someone over an issue, and your motives are right. You're doing this because you love them. You really want them to be, you know, restored. You want your relationship to be restored. You want them ultimately to maybe apologize to you. You know, you want to be able to express where you've been hurt, but you ultimately want them to be the restored. But let's say it goes very badly, and it might. What do you do then?
Yeah, sometimes it does. You know,
how do you leave it?
Yeah, so much is in the details of how it goes and the nature of your relationship. if you're related, if you share the same house, the same bedroom. Mm-hmm. I mean, all this,
right?
It really matters. If this is your spouse or your child or a friend or somebody you see regularly or somebody that you don't see, you could actually live your life and you might never encounter them.
Yeah.
All that matters. But you want to end not with getting the last word, with like one last, here would be how not to do it.
Yeah.
One last zinger. You want to reconvey your love.
Yeah.
And reconvey your hope that you could have a good relationship, that you could have another. So you want to leave room for another conversation or create space. You know what? I know I can tell you're upset or, yeah. You know, this didn't go as well as I wanted to.
Yeah. Or I can tell you feel attacked. That wasn't my intent. But yeah.
Could we have another conversation another day?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's a follow up later, like 24 hours later. Hey, I know last night was a little hard or. You know, it was, I want to remind you what I was saying, really. What I meant to say, I don't know if it came across, is that I love you, I care about you, and I'm concerned about you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're open to it, I'd love to have another conversation and maybe confess. You know, in the middle of it, I realized I got mad. I said some things I wished I hadn't said. If you did. But it's not uncommon when it goes badly that your
emotions ran high.
They poked you and you said something you didn't want to say.
Right.
And so you can confess your part. Or you can say, you know, I wished I hadn't said this, or I didn't mean to imply this, and, you know, I'm apologizing. And if you're willing to, I would love to have another conversation.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. So leave some space, leave it open for them to process and for them to consider what you've said.
And another principle we haven't talked about is in Galatians 6, the scripture says to carry each other's burdens.
Yeah.
And so when you're approaching somebody, it's can you help? So I know this is kind of a silly one with the dog barking, but it's if it's a conversation goes well, it's, and you know, if it would help, I would be glad to take your dog for a walk in the middle of the day because maybe they're bored back there in the backyard. You know what? We used this service that was really great for training dogs, or you know, if you'd like, I'd be glad to help you find a. But it's all if it's positive. Like, can I help you on the prescription drug thing? A little harder. It's, gosh, if you discover they're really trying, but it's a medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
Can I help you? Could I pick up kids for you? Or
do you need
me to like wake you up because you can't wake up with your alarm? Or if it's a prescription drug problem, it is, would you like me to go to rehab? You know, could I drive you to rehab? Could I help you find a rehab place? You can't pay for it. Could I help you find insurance or find a way to cover this? Can I, you know, I know you're maybe going to need to go to AA or NA. I'd be glad to go with you the first time and maybe introduce you to somebody or just be with you, be your friend.
Yeah. And but that's really powerful because then it's not just saying, well, I'm better than you. I would
not.
And you have this problem and I'm just trying to tell you about your problems. It's like, no, I'm willing to get down there with you and do whatever I can to support you.
And it's the theology issue you mentioned. It's, you know, and by the way, I'd be glad to study some scripture with you or could we read a book together?
Yeah.
And think this through.
Well, because this is what Jesus did, right?
Because you're not asking somebody to change on the spot. You're going, could I be in the process with you and walk with you through whatever? Or, I don't know, you know, sometimes it's, we need to talk to a third party. I'd be glad to go with you to talk to so-and-so.
Yeah. But it's like, trying to be part of the solution.
Right.
I mean, because that's what Jesus did, right? He didn't just judge us from on high. He came down.
He did.
And walked on earth with us, alongside us, became human like us, suffered like we do to be with us.
Yeah, I mean, his example is incredible. He literally entered into our sufferings, and he is the model. And he called us to go the second mile, and that's what we're called to do.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I hope this is helpful for everybody.
I hope so.
I mean, at least gives you some things to think about.
Yeah, different principles apply to different situations.
Yeah, and it's hard. Look, and just to be clear, if it's kind of in a situation where it's an abusive situation,
that's different.
It's totally different. This is run of the mill, ordinary life kinds of stuff.
If there's abuse, you need to get help.
Yeah,
like seriously, you need to call somebody.
We don't confront your abuser.
No. And if it's criminal, you need to call the police.
Your own safety has to come first.
That's right. And if a child's being abused, you need to call CPS.
Yeah.
That's a different category.
Just to make sure that's clear. Well, Bruce, would you like to pray for our listeners and all the difficult conversations they may need to have?
Oh, Lord, thank you that you did come into our world to enter into our sufferings. And we pray you'd increase our love for you and our love for each other. And that our love would be so great that we would be willing to overlook minor offenses that don't need to be addressed. And I pray at the same time our love would be so great that we would have the courage to address issues in each other's lives that really need to be addressed. Lord, I pray you would guard us against gossip and any sort of slander or disunity, but that you would increase our love for each other to encourage each other and sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron, that we might more and more be people who help people find and follow Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. We will see you back next week.